The Mike Missinelli Show.
Turn your radios up. Mike's ready to rock you.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. And, all right, we got to get to what happened last night. It's a shame because they should have won that game. I thought they had enough to win the game. I know they lost the lead, but they kind of turned it around and then he let it fritter away again. So let's analyze what everybody is analyzing. Yes. Okay. Here's the bench, and people have been killing me on social media because I said maybe the bench isn't as necessary when you have a great starting lineup. And I know they're getting nothing from their bench. I got it. So I thought they had enough in their starting lineup to pull that game out last night. As it turned out, they didn't. And in the end, they made a bonehead play, or one guy made a bonehead play. Actually, two, because Harden really probably shouldn't have given it ball up there, and he gave it up on instinct because he saw an open guy. And then Yang panicked once he hit the side of the backboard with a three-point shot. So he panicked, releasing the shot, and he panicked when he got the rebound. Because you got to know, dude. So it was silly the way the game ended. And they had a timeout left. And so Doc Rivers really should have taken it and rescued your team when you see something's bogging down after you draw up the play and it bogged down. So all that is said, let's get back to the bench. I hear people, all right? I am agreeing with you. They don't have a bench, all right? This has been like, but here's the thing. What are you going to do about it? You think that Daryl Morey looked at his bench and said, I'd love to improve this bench, and he just couldn't do it because the right guys weren't bought out or whatever reason? They know the same thing, you know? But like this constant like haranguing about the bench, there's nothing you can do about it, right? They made a trade that made them better. A byproduct of that is that their bench isn't that good. All right? So I don't know. Like, you want to invent something here? I guess Doc Rivers can pull out all the stops here and say, you know what? The guys that I've been using aren't contributing. Danny Green isn't contributing. Shake Milton's not contributing. Niang contributes a little bit. What else can you do? Like, DeAndre Jordan stinks. He is killing them defensively. And their transition defense has been horrible. And the fact that they stood around and watched a hot shooter continue to crank threes was problematic for me. But at this point, Doc Rivers has just a few amount of games left. He knows that this bench that he's been using has not been working. There's only one thing you can do. Try others. Right? You got Bassey on the bench. You got Joe on the bench. Now, I don't know if they're going to make a difference, but here's what you know. These guys aren't making a difference. So at that point, you go, but see, I'm addressing the complaints here because I don't understand what people think that they should do about it. Like, what are you going to do about it? You don't have enough personnel on your bench. You're trying to get by with a better starting lineup that gave you a chance to win. And you don't have firepower coming off the bench. Like, you can't now restart the season. So this is the way it is. So then you got to double down. You got to make sure that you button down on defense and not make silly mistakes to lose a game against a pretty good team. They should have won that game last night. So, I mean, I don't know. This is a discussion that we can have. The only way you can improve your bench, try somebody else. Maybe it won't work. Maybe you don't have enough time to do it. But, you know, I agree with you. Like, people are coming at me like, well, you didn't need a bench. Yes, you need a bench. What I'm saying is that a lot of teams that were good didn't have a great bench either, and they survived. The Sixers are going to have to survive without a great bench, and that is entirely possible. So, Tyrone, your analysis of last night.
Well, last night, the starter scored 96 points.
Yep.
96 points. Even with everything that went on, if your starters score 96, you should be able to
win the game.
96 they scored.
Yeah.
19 from Maxey, 24 from Harden. He does need to be more aggressive going forward. 10 from Tobias, 34 from Embiid, and 9 from Thibodeau. 96. That should be enough.
Mm-hmm.
And what people aren't understanding, we talked about it some on Outsiders last night, it's not that this bench should be good because there's no way this bench could become good. What is troubling is that the bench is horrendous. And the question becomes, and I think people should not just be able to complain, because we didn't pick this team. You see, we talk about the team. We don't work for the Sixers. We didn't pick the players.
Mm-hmm.
How would you make it better? There's a couple ways. You mentioned that way. One way would be try different guys and not be delusional. Doc Rivers, after the game, saying DeAndre Jordan was great.
He's killing them.
He's like, Embiid gets the third foul. Now, I said in real time, leave him in the game. He knows he's a veteran. He knows how to not pick up his fourth foul. Instead, he takes him out. And immediately there's an 8-0 run that gave them the momentum. I think right there is where they ended up losing the game at the end of the first half, where they had a double-digit lead, and boom, 8-0 run, and it's closer, and then here we go. I think that was a mistake by Doc Rivers at the time, but that's neither here nor there. The other thing Doc has to do, and other coaches seem to do, is there are some guys in this league that aren't great or not even that good, but the coach gives them a role, the coach sticks with them and provides a little confidence. He's got the shortest hook for certain guys and the most patience in the world with other guys. Shake Milton should play more than 8 minutes. I'm not saying Shake Milton's a star. What I'm saying is Shake Milton shot one shot. It was a three-pointer that he made. Okay, how about you, Doc, find a way to get that guy 4 shots, 5 shots. Maybe he makes another 3 or 2, and that makes a difference in the game. Or you play somebody else, as you mentioned. Doc seems to do neither. He just does. He locks in on stuff and just does it. And rides with the guys he, quote, trust, but there doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason as to why he trusts them.
No, see, Danny Green is useless right now. He provides nothing for you. So I get it. He's a veteran. He's been through the wars. DeAndre Jordan is giving you nothing. So I agree. If you've got one guy that you go, okay, this guy at least has some talent, I'll ride him a little bit more than 8 minutes. Or you play Joe, maybe he's got a little talent. Or maybe you go Bass, who's going to score more at least than DeAndre Jordan. And DeAndre Jordan's already killed me defensively. So, like, at this point, and I don't know if there's enough time left to explore that. But what I know is that the guys he's using are not working. So you... You got to just try something here. I don't know. Their starting lineup provided enough to win that game last night, and they didn't win the game. And then there's a lot of areas we can look at on why they didn't win the game, but they should have won that game last night.
You're absolutely right. They should have. And then the other part is, and we talked about Morey's good moves, and the Harden trade was a good move. He's made a lot of good. Maxey was a great pick. But that Bones kid last night was the 26th pick in the draft.
Wilmington, Delaware's own, right, by the way.
That's right. And he had a bunch of first responders that literally saved him and a lot of his family's life. Unfortunately, two family members passed away in that fire that saved him and his mother. His little cousin, I think his grandmother, perished in that fire. He had a bunch of those firefighters there, and he broke down after the game. He was emotional. But separate from the fact that he went crazy last night, made 1-3 from the logo, he averages 9 points a night. Now, the Sixers had the 28th pick in the draft, and they draft Springer.
Yeah.
And he's played in 2 games. Now, he's 19. We don't know if he's going to have a bad career. The thing about this is, though, the Sixers could really use a guard that could average 9 points a game. Like, if they had a guard that could average 9 points a game off the bench right now, they would have won that game. Orlando games easier. They'd have 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 more wins this year if they had one guard that can come off the bench and average 9 points a game. And Springer being completely unable to play, and a bunch of these other picks in the 20s, I started to look at it because of Brian Brennan from NBC Sports Philadelphia. There's a bunch of picks in the 20s who are playing. It does cost you right there, because if they had a kid like Bones, last night's game was an anomaly. He doesn't usually, but he averages 9 points a game. Where can the Sixers find somebody between now and the end of the year that can get them 9 measly points per game? It would make a gigantic difference in the Sixers.
Yeah, and they don't have, and in that case, I guess you can blame Morey. But what I'm saying is, like, people want now, they want lemon juice out of a rock.
Right.
When it comes to this band, and they're bitching and moaning. I get it. What are you going to do now? Like, what would you do? Like, they don't have many options here with their bench. That's why their starters have to carry them. I didn't say a bench wasn't necessary. What I'm saying is they don't have one, and hence the starters are going to have to overcome it. And in the past, you've seen starters overcome a lackluster bench.
And it
maybe not to this extent, but I get it.
And it may still happen. Harden, I think, is still deferring a lot, trying to show that he's not a bad teammate. That 24, it just, first of all, Embiid has to keep scoring 30 every damn night. They don't have an alternative with him. And now Harden's going to have to probably channel a little bit more of Houston Harden, and he's probably going to have to get you 30 and go with 60 with those two guys and hope, because if he goes 20-30 last night instead of 24, math tells you they might win the game by two. That's their hope right now, is that Embiid and Harden and then Maxey, they have to go off. Because you're getting nothing from the bench. It is on the star players to do it. And Jokic, like that whole matchup talk, which I thought got a little bit overblown. Mm. At the end of the day, Jokic had way more help than Embiid. Hence why they won. That's how it played out. It wasn't this, it's a team game. And right now, when they go to that bench, last night it was bad. It was like 48-14. 48-14.
I get it. It's not a great bench, and the only way you can influence it now is try other people. I don't know. Danny Green has looked like he's finished.
It was his first. I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt.
I know, it's a
first
finger.
Game back with the finger, and it might be tough. But he also isn't doing the stuff he's supposed to. Why is he dribbling? He scores.
He can't
one
score
way.
Off the dribble at all.
No, he's a standstill shooter. So just do that. Harden will find you. Instead, he's dribbling. That would make me mad more than the fact that he missed shots. Guys like this, he was missing the wrong kind of shot. Stand in the corner and shoot that corner three. That's your shot. All that off the dribble stuff has no hope anymore, in my opinion.
There was one play that really disgusted me, and it was when Highland had the ball behind the 3-point line, and he's looking around like, nobody gonna come up here. and they were paralyzed. They're like, they didn't even have an effort to run at him. And that bugs me because I don't understand. Like, their backcourt is not a great defensive backcourt. I get it.
But you put a hand in the guy's face. You're right.
Yeah, you gotta just get out on him. He's got the ball in his hands. He's just hit three shots. I mean, what are we doing here? That's like YMCA lazy ass. You know, I'm not going to guard that guy, and he makes it.
I think Maxey got caught in between on one of them, but the thing is, that guy's hot. Make him throw the extra pass, and maybe that other guy will miss, because that guy, he's not missing right now.
No, so, he was plugged in.
He was locked in, he had motion going, and he was bombing away.
Yeah. Jen, let me ask you a question. Because there's a lot of people that now are sensing that the tide is turning to the negative for the Sixers. I'm totally premature, but this is how people react here. Okay. What are you feeling?
So it was frustrating watching that game last night. It was exciting at so many times and so horribly frustrating at other times. But I'm not in dire panic yet, but it gave me pause. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
A very small pause to think, okay, all right. Well, maybe I'm a little high on them, but I'm still, you know, not full on panic yet, but
okay.
A pause.
Okay. Yeah. All right. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to be panicked today, and they're going to scream at the bench. I already know about the bench. You're not telling me anything new. People were hammering me last night. What can you say? I know. A bench is obviously important. They don't have it. What do you want me to say? They can't win now because they don't have a bench. This is what I've said. The starters have to overcome the lack of bench. Last night, they had enough points to do it. They didn't win.
96 points from your starters. You're supposed to win the game.
610-632-0975. All right, so here, I got the Philadelphia Union C3 beach bag here, and I've got tickets still in here. We started this yesterday. It's called the Elitist Pool, where callers who call in with a little substance at the end, you'll get a ticket. That's a team that you ride for the rest of the tournament. You make the final four, you win prizes, you win the whole thing, you win another an additional prize. Yet to be determined. And here are the people we had yesterday. I put them in my used coffee cup. The tags that
gross.
With the neck. Gross. It's the Mike Missinelli Show. We're back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
2:23, Mike Mussinelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. The 2 o'clock hour of the Mike Miss Show is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin. If you're an HVAC contractor, you can get your equipment, parts, and supplies for all your heating and cooling jobs at Ferguson's County locations, Ben Salem, King of Prussia, Pennsauken, or Westchester. Let us start the Twitter poll. That's brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons in Doylestown. It's almost mower time, so before you crack open a cold one and obsessively manicure your lawn, schedule mower maintenance at poweredbymoyer.com. Yeah, you know what? The spark plugs are probably shot. Probably takes you a long time to start it. This is Jen Scordo with today's Twitter poll. Jen.
Hello. If you were Doc Rivers, how would you try to solve the Sixers bench issues? You have four choices. Play different guys, motivate existing guys, bring Maxie off bench, or the last one, there is no hope. Right now, that's winning at 34%.
Of course. Because, listen, last night, all I had to do is read the post-game reaction.
Yep.
Bench. What are you going to do? Why do you complain about stuff you can't do anything about? I get it. What do you want to do? What's your suggestion?
Well, that's why I put that up there. Somebody should have to. I think you have to try, even though it stinks. I think you might have to try Maxie off the bench. I don't
and
know.
And start Green?
You may have to. You don't let him dribble. He stands in the corner. My thing is, I don't want to do that. What I'm saying is, if you don't trust any of your current personnel, and Doc, I don't think he'll try other personnel, but he seems like he's been very reluctant to do so. So maybe you have to reconfigure your existing personnel, and you're not going to take Tobias off. They're not going to do that. And they're not going to make Harden or Embiid. I mean, come on. The only guy you might be able to bring off the bench, and he's played the same amount of minutes, is maybe Maxie gives you a little bit of boost against some second units. Maybe. I don't know.
What the answer is either. What does it hurt to try something different at this point with other guys? Now, I don't know if with his patience level, there's probably not enough games to allow guys to play into some kind of a role for the playoffs. So, you know, you're cramming now.
You're right. My guess is Korkmaz ends up back in the lineup now. He showed a lot of patience with Korkmaz. He shows none for Shake. And I'm not even saying Shake's good. What I'm saying is we watch Korkmaz go stink for 30 minutes, and Doc doesn't think to not put him in the game. Shake stinks for 8 minutes, and he gets hooked and doesn't go back in the game. Like, that's what I don't understand. It's not that Shake's good. It's that other players are allowed. DeAndre Jordan, he said he's been great, he says after the game.
Yeah. Well, you know, he must not trust Bassey at all or Reed at all or Joe at all.
Yeah.
You know, and it comes to the point, okay, you're a seasoned basketball man. You don't trust them. I get it. A veteran coach probably doesn't trust guys who don't look like they're like falling into a role. What else you got? What do you got at this point? Holmes, come on.
Right. They got outscored again 48-14. If it's 48-19, you win the game. 48-19. Can you find a way? Your starter's got you 96 points, Doc. You gotta find. I don't care who you gotta play. I don't care if you got a 10-day guy in a couple seconds to get through. You gotta do something to find a way to do this. You gotta find a way to get a little bit.
I was laughing when we came back on the air because I was reading a tweet. The guy goes, I got a solution for the bench. Two words, Jamal Crawford. Jamal Crawford will be 42 in 4 days.
And not. I don't know if he would be playoff eligible by the rules.
No, but come on. See, that's how desperate we are.
Right.
But you can't add. There's nothing to add. Nobody's walking the street that you can invite into the gym.
No.
At this point.
Unless you want to trust some of your two-way guys, because they're allowed to play again this year, at the G League, if you trust one of them. Or if you think Springer, who's played two games all year, all of a sudden can come do something. But Doc, what he does have a responsibility to do is not just do the same thing. He can't just trot out the same lineups over and over. He does have to try something.
Right.
With his current guys. He's not going to sign anybody. I'm saying if you got to give Joe 10 minutes, let him stink the way you let Korkmaz stink for 60-some games. And maybe it works out for you.
You got no other choice. That's the thing. When all choices are exhausted, what's your staff thinking of? Stan's got to be talking about this, right? Hey, Skip, you know, we got to just let it ride with Shake. You got to let it ride with Shake. I don't know. I don't know.
Doc, give him 12 minutes rather than 8 minutes. Give him 15 minutes. And if he stinks for the 15 minutes, that's 15 minutes. But maybe he made, because he made a three. Maybe he makes another one if he gets another shot. You can't just, like, he was one for one and didn't get back in the game.
You got people now, it's only been a couple of games lost, right? Mm-hmm. You got people that go, I don't see this team getting out of second round. In fact, they could get upset in the first round. I know you're angry and you want the perfect team. You don't have the perfect team, but they did something substantial to put him in the conversation. All right, I get it that it's not perfect, but like this craziness with the bet, they can't do anything about it. So you got to hope they're good enough, and I'll take my chances with this team adding Harden than before. And that's the bottom line.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Time for a Twitter poll update. Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons in Doylestown with Jen Scordo. Jen.
If you were Doc Rivers, how would you try to solve the Sixers bench issues, that is? 13% right now say motivate existing guys. 20% say bring Maxi off the bench. 33% say play different guys. And 34% winning, there's no hope.
Well, no hope is one percentage point above play the other guys. So yeah.
That's what you have. The answer is play the other guys.
Yeah.
And you got to try.
It's really the only answer. Right.
And you got to do it for like 5 straight games. You can't do it one game.
Yeah, if Danny Green was playing better, then maybe I would think about the Maxi off the bench thing. But he's not. He's useless right now.
Yeah. I can't argue with that. It's just, they have to find a way to not have the lulls. Like, now some of that, I guess, is on Harden. Embiid goes out, they immediately go on an 8-0 run. Harden is supposed to be it because he was still in the game. Mm-hmm. Get a couple baskets to keep that from happening. And that's where, unfortunately, maybe for some people, he's going to have to be Houston Harden a little bit more. When Embiid's out the game, you know what you do? You dribble 20 seconds and do what you know. Do your Harden stuff.
Yeah.
You want to know why? Because the alternative is rubbish. So just go for it. Do your Harden stuff.
All right. So the Eagles signed, well, I don't know why, but they re-signed Greg Ward and also Andre Chacharet.
Now, they like Chacharet for special teams. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised they're saying that Ward's a leader, but who'd he lead? Devontae didn't need leadership, and the other young receivers stink.
That's like, you know, bringing back Brad Miller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I haven't heard about Bamboo Brad.
Yeah.
You hate him so much.
Well, I don't hate him, but it's just, you know, it's like a, you know, whatever.
Yeah, nothing exciting, you. Right?
Yeah, that'll be, I'm surprised Ward's back. And I'm surprised that that's the first wide receiver move they've made.
Yeah.
But with the money that they threw around yesterday, I don't blame Howie one bit for being patient. You got to let that market reset itself because you can't afford to overpay a
Jacksonville
guy.
Busting it up.
Yeah.
They're spending money.
Spending. They say that's the problem sometimes with too much cap space. Sometimes
they gave Christian Kirk a stupid contract.
And that slowed the. And you notice no wide receiver signed since because everybody's spooked and now you have to wait for the market to re-regulate.
Yeah.
That's probably why the Eagles haven't gotten their slot guy already. Because the guy's probably saying, if that guy can get this, you got to pay my guy X. And they don't want to do that. So now you have to be patient and wait.
Update on Ben Simmons, in case people are interested. Steve Nash said he has high hopes that we'll see him in the regular season. But, you know, his back is still an issue.
Now, hold on. It started day to day.
Yep.
It went to week to week.
Yep.
And now it's high hopes.
High
hopes. See him in the regular season.
High hopes. He got high.
And another thing that's disturbing, and this also shows you that there's something wrong with the people around him. He didn't go to the Boston game or the Charlotte game before the Sixers game.
Mm-hmm.
He then comes here to sit on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're back home, and Kyrie, the game where he got fined, Simmons wasn't on the bench. He only came to this game and is not with his teammates for any other games.
That's annoying.
So it's like...
Not a very comfortable seat he sat in either for the back.
Right.
You know, he needs to relax the back seat like I have right here.
Yeah, and
Doc... Could have brought out for.
Right, and they have... Some arenas have the one where you could adjust the height.
Uh-huh.
He sat in a regular seat for a six-foot guy at 6'10".
Yeah.
And that didn't bother his back, but it's just peculiar.
And he was jumping up and down cheering.
Right.
On the sidelines there.
Yeah, meanwhile, Goran Dragic is quoted. It's the last guy who wants to see Ben come back.
Yeah, Goran Dragic. He's right.
Yeah, he's saying the right thing. Well, we're all professionals here. We all know how to play basketball. Of course, you need some time to get on the floor and figure those things out. But I always look at it this way. Now he's not playing. We finally find a rhythm. We can't wait till we get him back. No, you don't. Stop lying, Goran.
Yeah, Goran's like, you know what? I'm getting crunch time minutes. And earning a new contract at the end of this year. Somebody gonna pay me if I play well on this good team. Ben, take your time. That back's bothering you, right? You tweaked it. I think he's gonna end up sitting out the whole year.
I think you're right. So how do you say liar in Slovenian? How you say that's Goran.
Is that something people know?
That's what Goran is.
Well, I don't ever heard anyone speak Slovenian. Is that a language?
No. What do they speak? He's from Slovakia, so right?
I don't know.
They speak Slovenian.
Do they? Or do they speak Russian?
I don't know. Russian? I don't think he's speaking Russian.
I don't know.
Yugoslav. Slovenian. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's Slovenian.
Slovak language.
Yeah.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Let's talk a little baseball. Get a little sunshine in here. Spring training is officially underway. Phillies with a lot of questions. The Braves are going to be without Freddie Freeman. Wow. A lot of stuff happening. And for that, we go to Mr. Baseball, the man who is legendary in the industry. He's in the Hall of Fame because of it. He works for The Athletic covering baseball. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline, Jason Stark. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Mike. How are you, man?
I'm doing good. Obviously, you're in Florida, and I was wondering, like, what your itinerary was when this was in limbo, because usually you get down there and wait, and, you know, you're ready to go. Did you have to cram here?
I've been in Florida since March 1st, attempting to work. I had a whole game plan of stuff I was going to do if the lockout didn't get settled. It was a good plan, Mike. It was hard to execute that plan.
All right. Well, you're down there now, and everything is good, and we're fast-forwarding to the season, and we don't have to talk about the strike anymore, the issues.
Yeah.
So you were with the Phillies yesterday. You were with the Braves today. Let's first start with the Phillies and the signings that they did make in their bullpen. Spent a few dollars, and I just wonder if it's money spent wisely, because it just seems like they spin a wheel and try stuff. And they always put money out there to try stuff.
Well, look, we've been watching this bullpen now for several years, and we've seen how these things tend to go, but they don't always go that way. I've seen Brad Hand at his best, and at his best, like, nobody hits that guy. I saw Corey Knebel with the Dodgers last October. He was great. Like, when he's that guy, nobody hits him. I've seen Yuris Familia when he's great. There's high upside in all three of those guys. But Like, I can't look at anybody, not a single arm in their bullpen, and say there is certainty there. There's predictability there. So good luck. I just know that, like, I've often laughed about this with GMs, that sometimes you're better off signing all the guys that had crummy years the year before because there's so much volatility in bullpens that they all bounce back the next year.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. Hand at this stage of his career and Familia scared to death out of me. You know, they're just scary.
Familia.
Yeah, Familia. I mean, he's going to give people nightmares.
I can see Familia assuming the Hector Nearest role in this bullpen in more ways than one. In that, he's that guy who comes in the sixth inning when you're down three and strikes at the side. And when you're up one, he scares the heck out of everybody in the seats.
No, it's perfect. That's perfect. So let's look at the team as a whole, because they're still dangling the left field situation. They made a very unpopular move, I think, and surprising move by bringing Odubel Herrera back and then planting some kind of platoon with Vierling. So let's start with that. What did you think of the Odubel signing? I know it's cheap, but I think it's needless.
Not a fan of that. Not at all. And it's a function of, the one guy on the free agent market was a really good center fielder, with Starlin Marte. And once he signed, they just didn't like any of the free agent options. They talked to the Rays about Kevin Kiermaier, backed out of that. I personally think that's a mistake, but that's what they decided. They talked to the A's about all kinds of deals. Ramon Laureano, Matt Chapman, bullpen, like all of those guys, the Phillies match up with them. They don't want to pay the prospect price for Ramon Laureano, who's suspended for the first month. So they looked over their options and thought, we can get by with this platoon of Matt Vierling and Odubel Herrera. And I like a little of what I've seen of Matt Vierling, completely uncharted territory, how good he'll be over a full season. And we've seen Odubel. Why?
What do they not see? That's the thing. These are baseball expert people. He doesn't know how to play, in my view.
You know, winning is about guys who play with focus and energy every day. Does that describe a duo?
No, it's the exact opposite. So that's what I'm saying. Well, what are they seeing?
They're actually hoping at this point that Matt Vierling can play at least 100 games out there, and they can get by with Odubel as little as possible. And then that kid, Johan Rojas, takes a big step and becomes part of the picture at some point. You can't trust it. And it's really, it's really disappointing to anybody who thought they're going to have a big, impactful offseason, because what's the big, impactful, difference-making move? I have to think it's the one coming up in left field. Don't you?
So where are we with that?
All right. Well, the two guys that they like the best, I think without any question, are Kyle Schwarber and Chris Bryant. Your boy, Chris Bryant. Because go back to what Dave Dombrowski said after the season about what he was looking for. He's looking for guys who have won, guys who can make an impact on the room, and guys who can make a difference, hopefully in the middle of the order, but in Schwarber's case, probably at the top of the order. I personally think Kyle Schwarber is their guy, and it's not close. And it really wouldn't surprise me if they go over and above what any team is willing to offer to make that happen. I don't think Chris Bryant wants to be in Philadelphia, and I think they know that.
Hmm. All right, so how much will it cost for Schwarber? Is he a $20 million player?
I would never have thought so, but he's got a lot of teams. Hmm. And, I would guess they'll overpay in years rather than dollars per year. But, if it started approaching that territory, nothing would shock me. Like, they need to make a big move because look what the Mets are doing. Look what the Braves did today. There's a lot of pressure on a win-now nucleus without a lot of system help and not enough depth to make a big difference-making move. This has to be the move. It's got to be Schwarber, Bryant, Nick Castellanos, somebody like that.
All right. Let's talk about just two quick positions here. One is the shortstop, where I'm reading that they have told him that he may play other positions if Stott it becomes a shortstop. I don't know how likely that is that Stott's ready to be an everyday player. What does that do with Didi and the contract? Is he going to be a utility infielder?
I was there when Didi talked yesterday. I don't know what he was talking about. He couldn't explain it. So Dave said at the end of last year that Didi is guaranteed nothing, that he did not earn the right to come into camp and think he's the shortstop. That's what they've told him, as far as I know. The other stuff, I'm not sure what they mean. They would love for Bryson Stott to win that job. Love it. If he doesn't win it in spring training, they would love for him to win it, be there by June 1st. They really don't want to commit to Didi unless he gives them some reason to think last year was just some aberration based on those weird health issues he was trying to describe yesterday.
What do they do with the $15
million? My understanding is if he plays this spring like he played last year and Dave decides we got to release this guy, they will eat that money.
Huh.
That's what I've heard whispered people who have talked to their front office. But I don't know. Release him, and then suppose Bryson Stott isn't ready. I guess you can find somebody to play short for a while till Stott's ready. But then he has to be ready.
Yeah. All right. Last thing, this Wheeler thing, and I'm getting this ugly feeling in my belly, and I relate it way back to Cole Hamels after that the big year where he didn't really pitch a lot in the off season, and it looks as though Wheeler hasn't either with COVID or whatever. He hasn't thrown off a mound. Now he's sick. Is this a bad win coming our way for the ace?
I would worry if I were you. I can't tell you how many camps I've been in over many springs, not just Phillies camp, where they start saying, yeah, he hasn't thrown yet, but it's nothing to worry about. He felt something in his shoulder, but it's nothing to worry about. He's a little behind, but it's nothing to worry about. And then next thing you know, there's a lot to worry about. So until you see Zach Wheeler on the mound, pitching to hitters, dominating the way he dominated last year, you're free to worry. I'll authorize that.
Yeah, it doesn't have a good feel to it at all. All right, since you're in Braves camp, last thing, how are they getting along now? What's the buzz with no Freddie?
Yeah, like they traded for a hell of a replacement. You know, Matt Olson's Freddie 2.0, and he's younger. I get that. But it's been really interesting to talk to these guys today about what they're dealing with. You're in touch with Ron Washington, the third base coach, and he actually used the word mourning. When a guy like this leaves, like, it's so emotional, you're kind of in mourning. And I feel like that's going on. Mike, this is not the way the Braves that we have known and loved have done business ever. Guys like Freddie Freeman, once they establish themselves, They don't leave. They might leave when they're 40. They don't leave when they're 32. This is a cold corporate decision. They pivoted. They replaced them. They're going to be good. But there's something about this that doesn't sit real well with me, doesn't sit real well with the fan base, and I know doesn't totally sit well with the guys in that room. They better win, and Matt Olson had better blend in real quick.
Well, the natural question then is, would the Phillies be interested in Freeman and make Hoskins a DH?
I'll go back and cite another thing that Dave Dombrowski said at the end of last season. We've got plenty of stars. We don't need more stars. We need to fill in around those stars. And if Freddie was too expensive for the Atlanta Braves,
yeah,
he's too expensive for a team that needs way more other stuff, right? And I just don't see it. Haven't felt that vibe at all. If they're going to spend money, they're going to spend it in the outfield first and then see what's left.
All right. Sounds good. Jason, always a pleasure to touch base with you at spring training. We will not be there, by the way. So,
sorry, man. People were actually asking me when Cincinnati.
I'm sure they were.
I'm not making that up.
Really? Well, tell them that, unless we take a personal vacation, we're probably not coming down. All right, we'll talk.
While you're up there, see if you can find somebody who can make a three-pointer in the last year,
all right? Yeah, I got you. All right, man, we'll talk basketball the next time. Syracuse is not in the tournament, are they? They didn't make it this year?
Thanks for bringing that up.
I'm sorry. There's too many Boeheims. Get rid of them. Come on, let's go.
Apparently.
All right, we'll talk to you, Jason.
See you, Mike.
There's Jason Stark.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.